Just getting to Katie Sandquist's home in the time-check neighborhood of Cedar Rapids is like maneuvering through an obstacle course. Every other street is coned off for construction. Jackhammers and trucks are a near constant presence. But more and more there are other signs of life here, too. Neighbors chat with construction workers, kids are riding bikes, a few brave souls battle the towering weeds overtaking lots where houses once stood. Katie Sandquist, her husband, and their toddler son Nathan live here. She says it's been a long road back.
Look down the streets now, and it's sunny, and there's flowers in yards, and I heard hammers this morning, you know, and you hear those sounds of people recovering. And so it's just kind of those signs of how far we've come.
But Sandquist says most of that progress didn't come from official channels. When government aid took too long or dried up entirely, Sandquist and her neighbors had to look elsewhere. They worked with community initiatives such as Block by Block, a volunteer group that rebuilds homes for free. So far, the organization has rebuilt more than a dozen blocks. Reverend Clint Tweet Ball is Block by Block's project director. He says what's worked is getting people together to rebuild their own community.
These neighbors on the blocks that we work with get together at first every week and eventually every month to talk about how progress is going. And so it's been huge that they've begun to feel some ownership of the recovery process.
A crosstown lunch hour is in full swing at Zinn's restaurant. The full tables are one sign that downtown is getting back on its feet. The community theater reopened in February, and the city council voted to move back into the Veterans Memorial Building. Zinn's co-owner Amy Weiss says her business is one more Cedar Rapids success story. That's why she's removing the banner that reads, "We're back."
And it doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but it's like, all right, we're not back anymore. We're here. We're not flood victims. We're not survivors. We're just Zinn's now.
A few blocks over at the Chamber of Commerce, President Shannon Meyer says Zinn's isn't alone.
There are businesses that are making it, much to their own credit. Although there's been federal funds and state funds that have been important and critical, it's really that Midwest attitude of picking yourselves up by your bootstraps, figuring out how to be creative and innovative, and keeping your doors open.
A full recovery from the floods of 2008 in Cedar Rapids will take years, and for some residents and business owners, life will never be the same. Iowa Public Radio's Alex Hoyer reports on the immediate and long-term challenges still facing the city.
It's difficult to say what the most pressing problem is in Cedar Rapids. City leaders say the first priority is to help residents rebuild or find another place to live, then it's to help business owners, and finally, it's to restore the city's buildings. But Gary Ficken says the city has those priorities backwards. He's the owner of a sportswear company in downtown Cedar Rapids that was flooded but has since come back. He's also the leader of a group of flood-affected small business owners.
The latest data from the case manager shows 123 businesses that are pretty much on life support. They characterize themselves of having 1 month of cash flow left.
About 90 flooded businesses are already closed, and that's why Ficken says what happens within the next month is critical. He says business owners have bought replacement equipment but haven't been reimbursed with money that's already allocated.
The scoreboard should say somewhere close to $100 million, in my personal view. And right now the scoreboard's saying zero. That's a travesty.
A lot of money for business and housing recovery is coming from the federal government in the form of community development block grants, in all, about $800 million. The Iowa Department of Economic Development is in charge of allocating and distributing that money. The department's Tim Waddell says businesses have received about $15 million, but says there's a lot left to give out. Government aid is expected to pick up this summer, especially with property buyouts, but so far only 10% of the total has been spent. Waddell says that's due in part to the way the program is set up through reimbursements.
For a disaster recovery in an emergency situation, a reimbursement program is not probably the best way to send money to the states from Congress.
And aside from immediate aid that comes from FEMA, the only way long-term disaster recovery will change is if Congress does it. Another thing Congress will decide is whether to fund a system of levees and flood walls that would protect Cedar Rapids if it floods again like it did in 2008. But the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers' current proposal shows it only makes economic sense to protect the east side of the city. That's where property values are at least the cost of building flood walls and levees. Sue Warner, along with her husband Tom Miller, owned Schumacher Carpets along First Avenue on the west side of the river. As Warner goes over wood flooring samples with a pair of customers, a photo in the background shows what this area looked like 2 years ago. Water was just below the blue awning and more than 8 feet high inside. Although Warner doesn't think it will flood here again, if it does, she knows she's one of many who wouldn't be protected by the Corps' plan.
I just think when it comes to the safety of your people and protecting your town, I don't care what it costs, you do it.
The city's preferred plan includes protecting both sides of the river. Greg Ierley, who's the Cedar Rapids Flood Recovery Director, says the way the Corps wants to recommend flood protection is discriminatory.
Just because that family, you know, stepped out of the second story of their house and onto a rescue boat, and because they shoved off from a property that's has a real estate value of $40,000 or $80,000, why should they be treated any less equal than if they were stepping out of a home that was $800,000?
The total cost of flood protection ranges from $100 million for the Corps' plan to as much as about $400 million for what the city wants, and that doesn't even include the long-term costs of watershed management. Congress could approve flood protection for the entire city without the Corps' recommendation, but that's an uphill battle. Back at Schumacher Carpets, Sue Warner says there are signs of progress, but a drive through any flood-damaged neighborhood or business area is a stark reminder of what happened 2 years ago.
I just can't imagine why people wouldn't think it was important to protect our town at all cost. I mean, if we go through something like this again, Cedar Rapids will just be wiped out.
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers will present its plan to the public on June 23rd, and the final report is due by the end of the year. If flood protection is approved, it would likely take at least 5 years to complete. In Cedar Rapids, I'm Alex Hoyer.
And I'm Kate Wells, Iowa Public Radio News.